Hello, everyone. I hope you're all well. Just give me a second while I... The truth and the gift of the discerning of spirits. So let's just start off where this got born. So Shofar as a whole has this series called Encounter. It goes from Encounter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just for those that are semi-new, that don't know what it is, Encounter 1 is the basics of the faith. It talks about salvation, what it means, how do you get saved, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I really love that. It's one of my favorite things. I love hearing that. Encounter 2, that is about just what we believe as a church. We're a Bible-believing church. I'm not going to go through all the details, what we stand for, and then Encounter 3. That starts to touch on family and heart and healing, and then Encounter 4. So this is where I want to get to. Encounter 4 is basically about deliverance, about demonic deliverance, but also about healing trauma in our lives. It's basically a glorified worship session. Literally, that's all that it is. And then people pray for you to be delivered from whatever you feel you experience you need to be delivered of. Yes, I like making dramatic pauses. Anyway, it's good for me. So, Retief and I spoke, and when I went to facilitate this with some others, he said, come back with what you got there and implemented here. So I was like, okay, cool, Lord, how are we going to do this here? So this is where this was born. So, the reason why I take dramatic pauses, so I haven't arrived with some of the stuff that we're going to speak about, is because I struggle with fear and anxiety. Pause. But I'm working through it, and I've been working through it for quite a while. And yet I'm standing here. Sometimes I struggle, sometimes I don't. So I haven't arrived. So that's just an honest moment. So what this is about is, it's very to the context of this church. So if you're listening online, just take it into the context. This is for this specific congregation. Because some of the stuff that I'm going to mention when I come to the lies we believe, is specifically the lies that I've heard many people share in this church over the years. And don't worry, I'm not mentioning names. We all struggle with stuff. We all have stuff. You know, God's good. You know, God is good. You know, the irony is today is about deliverance. So one of the things that I prayed, that I experienced God was saying, I mean, I need to say this in Afrikaans, hy wil vir ons 'n blaas kans gee. So he wants to give us rest from our fears and the stuff that ministers to us in our minds. He wants to give this church a freedom from those things. So Lord, I just thank you for, Holy Spirit, just reveal the fears, reveal the lies, reveal this identity stuff, the things that we struggle with. Touch on hearts, Lord. Reveal specific things. Remind people of specific things. Not about sin. This is not about sin. This is not about your weaknesses. This is not about that. But it's about just Holy Spirit. Just come and touch hearts and reveal. Just show. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus, and the Word Jesus was with God, and the Word Jesus was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. So it's pretty clear. Through Jesus, I'm just replacing him with Jesus. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. See, our relationship with Jesus. So, I don't have a big Bible with me. Should have brought it with. But our relationship with Jesus is directly related to our relationship with reading the Word. Because the Word is Jesus. And then Jesus came, personified Himself in the flesh. It's one and the same. He came to fulfill the Word. He came to fulfill the law. So if we don't read the Bible, how can we know Jesus? So as you can see, I'm working through my stuff, like all of you. But it's working, because God has done a lot in my life. So what are the truths of God? Okay, look, there are many truths of God, but I'm just going to look at five of them, just in terms of this discussion. And by the way, in between, so what Retief mentioned now is exactly what I wanted to do at the end, to ask people if they want to recommit their lives to God or commit their lives to God for the first time. And at intercession, it felt like Albert was at intercession and before the time, and he was praying. It felt like he was in the room this morning with me while I was making notes. And I love moments like that. And I just want to say, we're going to make that invitation again. And I know it's a scary thing to come forward, but the gospel is scary, and we would really want to pray with you. Don't be afraid. Jesus is the Word become flesh. Without Jesus, nothing was made. We serve a triune God, body, soul, and spirit. It's just the interesting thing for me that God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, and yet we've been made with the body, soul, and spirit. I was just wondering about that. It's interesting. We're made in the image of God. Random fact, this is something that I think about. We are His saints. Do we believe this is true? I know we can get spooky and we can look at scripture and like, yes, quote the scriptures because I know the Bible out of my head. But do we believe I am a saint of God? Like, honestly think about this question. Because what comes out of people's mouths, and I'm speaking about our congregation, sometimes I don't think we really believe that. We don't believe that we are free. We don't believe that Jesus has made us free. And again, Albert, while he was praying, so I wrote down a word here, the word for the church, simply, God says, I love you. And Albert was praying about love and before the time. So sometimes we get spooky and religious, and I've been in many small groups over the years, and people like to dodge questions. So if I ask Pietri about, let's say, how's it going with your heart, then it's like, really, Revelations to Exodus to, and I've had many people in small groups doing that, and I go again, Pietri, how's your heart? Then again, it goes like this, this whole trip. Then sometimes a third time I go, Pietri, how is your heart? Then sometimes we get to the real answer, and other times it's like, okay, that person is not ready yet. But we get so spooky and with scripture, but do we get to the heart of stuff? Do we go, actually, my heart is sore. My emotions are sore. I'm actually hurting, but I'm too afraid to say, and I've got all these covers of religion that I'm struggling with. So we all got fears, we've all got lies, we've all got stuff, but what we don't always realize is the stuff that pops into our head is many times demons ministering to us. And who do we listen to? Do we listen to our fears that manifest? I mean, I've got a lot of fears about work. it's getting less and less and less and less, because I'm in a work that's not my strength. I'm doing something that's really, really challenging, and I'm continually to like the prayer of, oh, Lord, help, I don't know how to do this. But many of the stuff that comes into my mind is placed there by the demonic, and not by God. But how do we counter that? How do we counter what comes into our minds? We'll get to that. And we do need to realize there is a spiritual realm. You've got two schools many times. You've got people that walk towards the, no, everything is emotional, everything is practical, everything is like, you can just sort everything out in the natural. Then you've got guys on the other side. So they go, no, everything is spiritual. You can just quote a scripture, rebuke a demon, and everything will be sorted out. But both are wrong, because he is the middle. So I'm not perfect at all in any way. But the reason I believe God's allowing me to speak about this is because of the lenses I look through. And I always tell people, don't look. You can't just take this little one scripture. You have to look at the whole Bible. Many of the answers, you have to go through the entire Bible until you get an answer. I spoke about identities earlier. The most of this, us in this church, we struggle with our identities. We don't really truly believe and know who we are. We say it, we quote the scriptures, we try to believe it, but when it comes to like the straight, honest conversations, when I listen to people, I'm like, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know he's bought you and set you free? And our belief system is a little bit wonky because of our identities and the soreness in our hearts that we're walking around with. Whether it can be a bunch of stuff, it could be church offense or real hurt in church, it could be whatever. But we look through these lenses and it's like we've got these glasses on, and on the glasses there's hurt. And then we move out of this place of hurt. And when I press on a button in these people's lives, different people, something manifests and you're like, whoa. And sometimes it's like, whoa, okay. And there's a stage that I felt, it's probably about a year ago, that I was walking on other people's eggshells. So I was like this. I must be careful what I say now because I'm going to break an eggshell. Until God was like, no, stop, 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 stop. and God's challenging me with this to go, no, 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 you don't walk on eggshells. You walk in truth. And one of the things God told me in the beginning of the year is you need to speak truth this year because this is what I've called you for. The devil's lies. Lekker. So I spoke about the devil's lies and the stuff that we believe just plain and simply is planted there by the devil. We can't blame the devil for everything. If we're dumb, we're dumb. Like, let's just say it. We make stupid decisions, all of us. Sometimes just trappenleidung and done. And there's consequences to our actions. But plain and simple, how do we discern the devil's lies? It's actually very easy. Read the Bible. So many situations that I'm in, have been in, with church, I'm talking about all of you. and where people say stuff, and I'm going, hang on, that is contrary to Scripture. There was a couple of, a small group a couple of weeks ago, the discussion of Bible came up and interpretation of Scripture. And there was sort of this thing about, no, 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 Scripture has multiple interpretations. And I went, excuse me, there's one truth. yes, a piece of scripture, there's quite a few pieces of meat that you can take out. But scripture does not have multiple interpretations. Let's just get that clear. There is one truth. But that's the whole point of a group of believers. Damien, I'm going to pick on you in a good way. So I learned something cool about him. I think it was our last small group, about his knowledge about the Bible. It was so cool for me because he questioned us about a piece of scripture and the context and what we were saying. And it was all good in the end, but I realized, hang on, this guy knows his Bible. He's actually mature. We need to be around people like that. So Damien, what I'm saying, you need to be here so that people can learn from you. And there's a maturity inside of you. Just FYI. So don't go to the next slides yet, but just have a look at the time. Okay, I'm going to hurry up. So all these lies that I'm going to list now, it's stuff that people believe in this church. This is not to knock everyone. Some of these things, I mean, I'm breathing slowly to control my anxiety that I'm suffering through. And I've been to see someone a couple of times, which has helped a lot. But the roots are like deep stuff years ago. Anyway, let's just say about that. You can come to the next one. Who wants to be a volunteer? Jacobus, hey. Call me Jacobus. You're not going to say anything, don't worry. Okay, you can ask me, wees nie dit vir my. So it says, this is one of the lies we believe. I am not good enough. Okay, Jacobus, keer gou daai helfte. Cool. You can just put that on the floor somewhere because it's just going to be a few times. I'm not worthy. You can tear it. So every time after I said it, just tear it. This is a common theme. I will never be free from whatever addiction, whatever I'm struggling with. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Evangelism is only for some. This one is close, very close to my heart. Intercession is only for some. Skeer om is 100 stukke. Yeah, it's a topic close to my heart. There's a lot of hurt there. There's a lot of disappointment there, and I'm not going to go into details, but we do need some biblical teaching on intercession and corporate intercession and individual prayer, etc. But it's so God's heart and His love. But don't be disappointed. We'll get there. Emotions are not valid. My problems are only spiritual. This is a bit of a deeper one. God will disappoint me. It's a complicated one because the gospel is hectic and there will be persecution. There will be hectic times. God sent Israel, the nation He chose, to Egypt for 400 years. Just the reason why, by the way, if you don't know, just that His glory would be known through all the earth, because Egypt was one of the greatest nations on the planet at that time. And God defeated Egypt. That was the purpose for His glory. So it is sometimes challenging. God does not love me. All these things, people in this church, God does not love me. God does not care. I hate myself. So on face value, with that, you know, you get Christians, hey, hoe gaan het? Hey, broer, hoe gaan het? How's it? When you get at church, like, you, people come to shake your hand and they ask you how you're doing and then they just walk away. So I've learned to go, hello, gaan het goed? But the point of it is, deep down in our hearts, there's stuff going on. And people don't always know because they don't spend time with people and really love people. This is an important one. I condemn myself. So not even Paul condemned himself, because Paul said, I don't even judge myself, because guess what? Jesus is the judge. But we had this one small group where, oh, you still have to stand here, Jacobus. We had one small group where we just did this thing about just tell your heart that you love yourself. A simple thing, and it's interesting what manifests in people, like this religious, and it's just a demonic thing that manifests, to go, I'm so used to self-condemnation that I cannot tell myself I love myself because I am used to condemning myself, and that's the Christian biblical way. No, it's not the Christian biblical way. It's a lie. It is definitely a lie. Stop self-condemnation. Jesus is the only judge. You're not allowed to judge yourself. It's actually arrogant to go judge yourself for your own sins. The whole point of why Jesus came was to go, okay, Lord, I messed up. Help. Run towards him. Not to go, oi, my sondaar, you slechte mens, you're like, no, that's not the point. I will never be healed. I struggled for intense pain for 8 years until Bernard came to Shofar Table View. He's moved to PE now. And the one night he was praying with me, and then God reminded me of the dream I had 8 years ago. Well, by then it was about 5 years. And then God said, you have a spirit of unbelief. That's what the dream means. Anyway, then he started this process. I couldn't sleep. I woke up every night in pain. And then since then, and it was the whole period was 8 years. And since I started realizing I'd had that spirit of unbelief, guess what happened? The pain started to go away. I am too self-aware to worship. Yeah, just on that, so this is something God is busy working through in my life. I can easily lift my hands in church, swing, sway a little bit, you know. Floor, no, not yet. Yeah. But what God is speaking to me personally, he's going, I want you to dance in front of me. Maybe it won't be in this context, but he starts at home, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is what you want. But he wants us to be free. He wants us to move freely. He wants us to be like David, to dance in front of the Lord. At a count of four, there was a woman that I could see her. She literally like danced over people. Sorry, Jacobus, there's one more left, then you can go sit down. And I could see this girl, and I was like, there's something here. How the heck does she have all that joy and that life? Zero fear. Anyway, right at the end, she comes to me, and one of the other facilitators told me, you must, she's also a married woman. They allowed married people to pray for each other because we just didn't have enough facilitators. But then she just randomly came to me and asked me, can I pray for you? And she prayed so accurately into my life, stuff that no one knows. And you know, like this God moment, and like realizing, okay, whoa, Lord, that is the freedom that I want. Last on Jacobus. Okay, this is fearable, I always. It's just typed it the wrong way around. Fear will always control me. Thank you, Jacobus. You can go sit down. Our celebrity in the house. Okay, I'll leave you alone now. This is the big one. This is actually one of the biggest ones for me because fear controls our lives. Fear to go speak to someone, to go, oh, your back is sore. Can I just quickly go pray for you? It's simple. It's going to be 5 seconds. Fear to go, Jesus, I feel like I just need to tell you Jesus loves you. Like all these things has definitely happened to me. God wants to set us free of fear in so many levels. Look, the last one, which I didn't print it out because I forgot this one, but I still thought about it this morning, is spiritual levels. So this is my personal favorite one to hate. Like seriously. And I've heard this from multiple people, not just one person. So there's this belief that there are spiritual levels. Oh. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as spiritual levels because we've all received the Spirit of Christ. So in other words, if I have the Spirit of Christ, I am in Christ Jesus, the full measure, and I can raise people from the dead like Christ did, which is what his word says. How much time? Yeah. Albert. Yeah. 12 and a half. There is authority, and we grow into authority. There's no such thing as spiritual levels. We grow in obedience, basically. Okay, enough of the lies. What does the Bible say? The Bible, it's important for our growth, plain and simple. It's important for our belief system. Because I remember as a teenager at school, there's a stage of my life that I watched a lot of MTV. Like, I was, like, getting into the MTV. And at a stage, so I made a promise to myself when I was 15, I wasn't going to sleep with anyone before I was married. But while I was watching this thing, at a stage I was like, yeah, maybe I should go down this route. Yeah, why not? This is what they are saying. And obviously, later down the line, when I got saved, I realized, obviously, all the teaching. By God's grace, I didn't sleep with anyone before got married, but only by God's grace, only, literally only. But realizing that the world brainwashes us. So either the world brainwashes us, or the Bible brainwashes us, and God brainwashes us. Like, we can say what we want, but it is literally a brainwashing. We must be careful what we watch. We must be careful. God loves you. God loves each and every one of you. And I know there are sore hearts in this room for various different reasons, disappointments, deep stuff, deep hurts, some real stuff. But God loves you regardless. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, whoever's fighting your love, Lord, I command the door to be opened. But we need to choose. We need to choose. What is my view? Still have a few minutes. What is my view and what is God's view? See, this is the interesting thing. This is why it's so important to read Bible. And it's a discipline, guys. It is a plain and simple discipline. It's not a fluffy thing. It's just be real. Sometimes it's cool. Sometimes like, I have to read the Bible now. Like, sometimes I feel like that, but I know I need to, and then I'm going, akmut, because it's good for me. And I get deceived if I don't read the Bible. I really do. I need to stay close. It's just a thing for me. And God's view in our lives in general, where we struggle is when our desires get in the way. Where my desire to become rich gets into the way, where my desire to get a big salary or a nice car, or I want to rather watch this thing on TV than pray now, Lord. That's legit. That's stuff that's in my life at times. But what is the voice of truth and what is the voice of the enemy? The problem is we've got so much noise in our head. And I've had some discussions with people, and there's sometimes a struggle to what is God's voice? How do we hear God's voice? I don't know his voice. There's this thing, and I'm going, no, just switch off the noise. Switch off the series a bit. Switch off the sport a bit. Switch off all the cycling and the running a bit. Switch off all the stuff. Switch it all off. Braai. Yeah. Braai's lekker. Switch it all off. There is a quiet place that we desperately need, even though our flesh fight. There's a constant fight. We need to switch it off because each and every one of us have the ability to hear God's voice. And I'm not talking about God audible over here. It's a still, small voice. I hear it like how I hear it. It's like it comes from in my heart, this gentleness. But if we don't spend time with God, if we don't read the Bible, if we don't pray, if we don't spend time with like-minded believers, how are we going to learn to hear God's voice? It's important. Then the last, you know, Retief, how do I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Accepting Jesus as Savior is easy. It's like, Jesus, yes, come sort everything out in my life, you know, when you're like young and like in the spirit that I'm talking about. And then you realize along down the line, oh, shucks, this stuff is like freaking insane. I need to give up like everything. And I need to give up my grudges and my unforgiveness. Unforgiveness was a theme of my life at a stage. Caused bitterness and anger. But hallelujah, God's taken all that stuff. It's not easy. But the thing is, everything is in the Word. Like, how do I accept Jesus, Lord and Savior? Go read the Bible. But that invitation of Retief, we're going to do that quickly at the end. I've got 5 minutes. The next thing that I quickly just want to touch on is what God said I must do. I wasn't originally going to, but then he said I need to put this in my notes regarding the Bible and the truth. So the focus is a lot on, so the whole thing about the gift of discerning of spirits, one of the purposes is to bring back to the truth. What is the truth? So if Petri's speaking nonsense, I go, gaan lees die Bybel. It's part of the role of the gift of discerning of spirits. Even when things are not always clear, that's where the gift comes in and go, that is not God. So I'm going to just talk about a Bible translation, the Passion Translation, and I'm going to read a little extract. The Passion Translation is a reworded and rewritten Bible, apparently intended to support a particular strain of theology. If the same material was marketed as a commentary or as a study guide, it would still be concerning. As it is, the Passion Translation cannot honestly be called a translation or even a paraphrase. The Passion Translation goes well beyond the idea of translation and reimagines the Bible as a human author thinks it ought to be written. Okay, I'm going to say something bold, but I need to because God told me this in January. Stop reading the Passion Translation. I know we love quoting it because it's soft and gentle. But when you take the word repentance out of the Bible, which this does, there's a problem. There's a whole thing about this. That I found like a good explanation. But the scary thing is that the Word of God says if you add or if you subtract from my Word, that's a scary place to be. This adds and subtracts. The thing is we've become so fluffy in our society, and sometimes it's all about the feelings. It's okay, let's make things gentle, let's make things soft. The gospel is the gospel. The truth is the truth. The word pierces. It's designed to pierce. It's designed to cut. so that we can get healing, so that we can get corrected, so that we can go on the right direction. That's all that I'm going to say about that. I'm nearly done. Nearly right on time. So we don't just accept Jesus, God. We accept all of Him. So now this is the good part. So we've spoken about all the fears and the stuff and the Word of God and how important that is, because Jesus is the Word that became flesh. And a lot of us desire miracles, signs, and wonders, and we want to see the stuff happen. But are we willing to put in the time? Are we willing to come to intercession and pray, even if nothing happens for 10 years? Are we willing? Because God wants faithful servants. But the day is going to come when He's going to start doing miracles through those people. And I remember at one men's Monday, I'll say it, not going to mention names, a few years ago, the person's not in the church. And the person just said, I wish I could be as prophetic like Stephen, because he sees stuff and experiences stuff. And meantime, back at the ranch, I'm going, do you have any idea how much I pray, how much I spend time with God, that I can experience and see and dream the stuff that I dream, and my dreams come true? Do you have any idea? Like, soon something needs to happen, because seriously, you can't carry on like this and nothing happens. But that is the thing. The cost is spending time with the Savior. So we accept Jesus' gifts. We accept His Spirit, His freedom, His wholeness. Yes, we do accept His wholeness. So if you believe, continue to believe the lies. I know it's not easy. It is a process to get through lies. It is a process, because the Bible says we need to transform our minds by the renewing of our minds. But this is part of Him, His wholeness. We cannot reject a part of Him. We cannot reject pieces of Him. It's everything. His love, His servant heart, His prayer, the way He prays, not the way we want to pray. His relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We have that freedom. We are seated in Christ in heavenly places. His authority working in and through us. Because the whole point of the gospel is the lost. Because He saved us. He's doing a beautiful work in us. None of us are perfect. We are going to mess up. We are going to do wrong things. But the point is, God never wanted perfect people. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to follow Him, to be obedient to Him. And yes, let go of your sin. One day He's going to come and we're going to be made perfect. Won't be on this earth. Be cool, but it's going to come. So I'm not going to ask the band to come up. I'm just going to make that invitation again. If you put up your hand, I don't know. But many times with the band, it creates like an atmosphere and it feels safe and it's good. But when we alone in our room, when we confronted at work with alcohol, with whatever, there's no band playing. If you really want this, come forward. If you really want to be free of fear, if you really want to be healed, if you really want breakthrough, if you really want, we want to pray with you, we want to lay hands on you. I know it's like probably it's time to go, but if you're really desperate, you need people to lay hands on you. It's important. I've got a passion for this. I love this stuff. If you don't have time, make a coffee with me. I love to chat. So Lord, we just thank You for Your presence. Thank You that You release fears and bondage and healing. Thank You for Your truth, that every doubt fades away. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness, that You've got such big arms. You can never reach the end. end of it. A while ago, God told me, try to reach the end of my arms. And it's like, I cannot find it. The picture was, I cannot find it. And thank you, Father, that you're deeper than we can possibly imagine. Thank you for your love, Lord. In Jesus' name. So please come afterwards. I know there's a lot of you, but if you don't, it's fine. But please come.